welcome to the Bible study. Appreciate everybody showing up. I want to give a shout out to the Kentucky folks in, I think they're in David Z's house tonight. And we appreciate y'all tuning in and being there. It was an exciting Monday night up at the Bible class. We had a most exciting thing happen. It was kind of weird. There's this lady, and she was reading along with us, and she took her Bible and kind of looked at it and, you know, kind of did this kind of thing. And I said, well, what's wrong? And she said, well, I don't know, but I've been having this Bible for all my life, and I've never heard anything like this before. So I praise the Lord for that. Rhoda's over there, and she's seeing scales fall off this lady's eyes. And pretty exciting. So we had four guests, and they were all pretty excited about the Bible. And it's just, it's absolutely insane what the power is. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you tonight. I want to start in Hebrews chapter 4. And Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And we're glad to have Robert here. He's from Woodstock, Georgia, wherever in the world that is. But I know it's in the state of Georgia, so that's approximately where he is. And he's visiting tonight. And we're glad to have him. Glad to have everybody here. Are you going to behave yourself now since you're in the class? Because you can't talk like you did back in the back.
I can actually say amen now, and people will know I said it. So you'll hear it.
You're scaring me. Who let him out of? Who let the dogs out? All right. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Let's read the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. Now, it did not say your opinion about the Word of God is quick and powerful. It didn't say your philosophy about the Word of God is quick and powerful. It said the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. People act sometimes like I can read their mind. And in some degree, that's true. When you have the Word of God, it is quick and powerful, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It can literally break down what you're thinking. When Brother Moore used to preach when I was lost, I think, how would he know that about me? How is that possible he knows that about me? Well, because there ain't none good. Well, if you understand that there's none good, you understand the problem with mankind. Let me see if I can find this reference. This just popped in my head. I don't know if I can or not. Let me see if this... Oh, here it is. That's the wrong chapter. That's why I couldn't find it there. All right. Yeah, go to Mark chapter 7. I can't believe I remember this. This verse popped in my head when I was preaching just then. And I thought, well, I'll see if I can find it. Mark chapter 7. Maybe, but you know, you got the idea in Hebrews. You know, this book is it. So when I go to witness to people, when I go to talk to people, I don't talk to them about Jesus. Hey, do y'all want to talk about Jesus? And just I open up and try to show them what God said. And the power isn't in me giving my philosophies and my thoughts about the Word of God and about the discernment I think I have about the Scriptures. The power is in the preaching of the Word of God. It is in giving them the will of God by His own mouth, not by your mouth. The only thing your mouth is being used for is to repeat the words. His words. You're just repeating His words. You're a lousy witnesser if all you do is go, hey, will you come to church? Will you come to church? Well, who cares if they come to church? I don't know if you can get this on camera. You know, big deal. Whether they come to church is not the issue. It's what they believe is the issue. And so in Mark chapter 7, y'all there? Mark 7, look at their, if you will, and the verse I want is a little bit down in 21, but I want to read from 14. And when he had called on all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that enters into him that can defile him. Did you got that? There isn't anything that you're going to take into your body that's going to defile you, that's going to cause you problems. Hey, that isn't where the problem lies, boys and girls. I got a hint. The problem is you. You got it? The problem isn't what you're putting in you. Say, well, it's that liquor. No, not according to the Word of God. The problem is what's starting in the inside when you were born. He said, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, notice the colon, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. You ought to underline that in your Bible for sure. You know, that's a very important concept. If any man hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Verse 17, and when he was entered into the house of from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive? For whatsoever things from without enter into a man, it cannot defile him. They think sin is something you're taking in, the beer, the thing. That's not the problem. See, if that was the problem, you'd be dealing with an issue of sins. But sins aren't the problem. It's sin that you were made in Adam is the problem. Even back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, people say, well, yeah, but the gospel, yeah, that's true. But the problem isn't, it goes on. And he goes on out and says this. Verse 18. Because it entereth not his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draw, purging all meats. So everything you eat, drink, comes out in, ready for this? Poop-poo. Can you say poop-poo? Everybody say poop-poo. That's what it comes out in. It's going to help flush out the meat, going to help flush out all that. It's not going into the heart, it's going into the tummy. The tummy isn't the problem. Guess what the problem is? The heart. Guess what the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart is? The Word of God. It's the thing that slices and dices and opens and exposes who you really are if you're man enough. And you know what? People don't want to hear it. So they'll use any excuse to try to avoid the preaching of the Word of God. And when you're trying to witness to them, they'll try to talk about this, and they'll try to talk about that, and they'll try to talk about a covering, and they'll talk about the rainbows, and they'll talk about the covenants of God. And they won't concentrate on the Word of God, because you know what the Word of God's doing to them? It's opening them up and really exposing them for who they really are. Now watch this. Verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart, a man proceedeth. Here it is. This is man. This is him at his best. This is what Jesus said about man. This is at his best what man is. For out of the heart of men proceedeth evil thoughts. That's true. Amen.
Amen.
So I can talk about evil thoughts and get it nailed down what you're thinking about. Adulteries. How many here has committed adulteries? Just about everybody we know. And he said, well, you didn't have to sleep with her. All you had to do was look upon her and lust after her to commit adultery already in your heart. See, the adulteries, fornications, murderers, thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit. Boy, we know a lot of people deceitful. Amen? They're even deceitful with themselves. You know, the Bible says the heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. Who can know it? I put Jeremiah 17 verse 9 right there. You know, I write it in my Bible with my little Bible pen.
Jeremiah what?
Jeremiah 17 verse 9. Well, let's turn back there. We're not in a hurry. Are y'all in a hurry?
No.
Barbara, are you in a hurry?
No.
All right, we're not in a hurry either. Turn to Jeremiah. We're glad to have Robert here. It's always nice to have someone pop in and say hello. Hey, out of the heart proceedeth evil things. I think there's 13 in the list. Isn't that a little bit odd? Yikes! 13 can't be good. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things. And what? Desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, we can't even know our own heart. Say, well, this is what I want with all of my heart. Then something else comes along and says, well, yeah, but I kind of really like that better. Oh, this house, I'm so in love with this house. This house just, oh, it just makes my heart feel good. You get moved in, the guy next door builds a mansion, you go, oh, I'd like to have that. If I could just, my heart would be great if I could just go to Talladega. I'm doing that for nobody. The heart is deceitful and above all things what?
Desperately
wicked. Go back to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Verse 22. Thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye. You know, out of all the people I've ever known, Stan's daughter could give the best evil eye I've ever seen anywhere. I mean, it's like, well, her mom's pretty good too. I mean, it's like, ooh. Cut you down, but don't look at me with those eyes. Y'all understand? Evil eyes. Blasphemy. What else do we know about the heart?
Prideful.
Man, it's prideful. Yes.
And the heart pumps out blood for you.
Yeah, but this isn't that kind of heart, baby. This is the heart that's inside of you that is tied. And you know what? It's funny what we take pride over. There are certain things people say, well, you're just proud. Well, I mean, come on. How many hadn't gotten a new car from Tony, a new Toyota? You know, you go down and buy one from Tony, and you're feeling good. And you know what you want to do?
Show it off.
You drive over to Wayne's house.
And take Tony for a
and you get out. No, Tony's glad. He's proud. He's proud. He sold one. You know, you get out of the car, and you go up, and Wayne comes out and says, man, that's a nice looking car. You kind of stick your chicken breast out. And he says, yeah, I just bought it. I really, you know, it's a nice car, isn't it?
I'm not seeing that
before. You know? And in about, you know, a year and a half, there's dents all in it. And, trash is in the back, you know. And It ain't the pristine new car that smells, you know. You know what I mean. The other one's cars that look like that I know of is Larry's. Now, his always looks pristine, man. Clean as a whistle, buddy. If I'm going to steal one, I'm going to steal his. I'm not going to take your garbage out after all.
You get my truck.
I ain't telling. It sure is nice to drive that up in Kentucky. You ought to see that. It's just really nice. Did you get insurance money for it?
Yeah, I got a little bit.
Okay, that's good.
Woman's eye,
right? I'll be safe from money.
He said, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Guess what we're doing up here? Yeah, we're doing a little foolishness. You know what? You can't get away from it. I'd rather tell a joke than preach sometimes. You know what I mean? I'd rather tell a joke than... You know, I get a lot more friends with jokes than I do preaching. I was talking to David Z on the phone the other day. David Z, someone says, do you think this is easy standing up for the truth? It'd be a whole lot easier just to forget the whole thing and relax.
That's right.
That's a fact.
You
see what I'm saying? I mean, that's a fact. I mean, this isn't any fun. Okay, I'm going to make an effort out of my time to study for 12 hours to get here, and then half the people don't show up. Oh, that's a lot. That's so much fun. But man, if I threw a party at my house, I bet I could get 50, 60 people to show up. Man, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
we know that for a fact.
Yeah.
Amen. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Hey, they don't, listen, they're not going in and defiling them. They were there from the get-go. And you know what they need is just triggers.
Right.
A little trigger, boom, next thing we're doing this. And so the heart and the Word of God, when you go to sit down as you start to show people the truth, the Word of God rightly divided, you know, you better have your sword on your side. You know, you can't do this through philosophy and just talk it. You know, what makes the grace message so powerful is that the men of God, listen to me, the men of God know for a fact what's in this book, and they preach it and teach it the will of God. Now watch. I mean, this thing is very, very, very important. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I mean, you can't preach something you don't know any more than you can go to a place that you've not been. You got it? You can't preach the Word of God without studying it any more than you can go back to a place you've never been. You can't do it. People try to say, well, I'm going to preach. You know, I ask preachers sometimes what they believe. Man, I wouldn't let them near a pulpit. Well, I've got to plan my message. Listen. Stan, William, Matt, Tony, if you need notes, you don't know the subject. Let me try that again. If you need notes to preach, you do not know the subject. Sorry. If you need to go and say, well, I'm going to study this up and plan my sermon, then you don't know the subject. You need to leave it alone. How many here thinks that they could teach 1 + 1 = 2? How many in here think they could do that? Raise your hand. Everybody, even the kids. I think I can teach that. You know why? I know it. You understand what I'm saying? I know it. I believe I can teach that. I believe I can teach that. You see? 12 plus 12 is 24. Because I know it. But what happens if we got into... Now that's a whole different formula, and I'm incapable of teaching that. That's a square root of 4 times 6 + 3 I don't know if you can figure that out, divided by two. But a mathematician could teach that, and I doubt they would need to brush up on it. You all understand? Because they would understand the theories and the philosophies and the things. And so people get up and they try to teach the Word of God, and they don't know the Word of God. So they're trying to make sermonettes so that people will go, well, he's really smart. Well, I can give you a copy of a sermonette that make you look smart. You can go down to the Bible bookstore and buy sermonettes. Preachers are there every Saturday preparing their sermons. Where do you think they get them from? They don't know how to study their Bible. They go down to the Bible bookstore and buy the little $5 sermonettes, and they have a little story. They'll have a poem in it. They'll have the references in it, what its subject is, and give you about four or five verses to discuss.
That mean?
It probably give you options.
Okay.
You know, and lay out the whole thing for you. Well, come on, guys. You want my sermonettes? I'll list them all for you, and you can be little Barrettes. That's not the idea. The idea is for you to know the Word of God and you to have it in your heart so that when someone asks you, you can give it forth. And the way to do that, I guarantee you, and some of the people up in Kentucky are learning, is to do this. Show it over and over and over and over again. And then when you're tired, show it over again. And that's what you do. Why? It's not you that's powerful. It's the Word of God that's powerful. So what do you put in your heart? You put in the Scriptures. You memorize Scriptures. You put them in your mind. I mean, I never preach with notes. Can you imagine if you got your notes all planned and you're so excited about it? You know, oh, I've really studied hard. I have studied hard. And all of a sudden your notes blow off and you have nothing but the Bible. How embarrassing. You're going to show that you don't know the subject yourself. How embarrassing. How embarrassing. You wanted to be Dr. Snodgrass, but now you look like Dr. Stupidoodoo. You see what I'm saying? And so your job is to get the Word of God down. Why? Hey, there's a reason. Look in Romans chapter 12. Look in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and be able to, that you may what? Prove. What does prove mean? If you're going to prove something, what does that mean to you? Huh? Yeah, it means you got to try it. You got to put it in the clinchers and see if it's so. And so in my mind, what I do before I preach is I try to prove it in my mind by disproving it. You know? Like Norm brought in something in my mind the other day about the Gentiles. Do they have to sell out? Or how's the mark of the beast going to affect them? Well, the more you think about that, I had to say this very simple little bit of words that I learned from Brother Moore. I don't know. So I've been thinking about that over the last couple days and haven't got the answer yet. Maybe never get the answer. But you know what? Don't have to worry about it. I'm going to preach what I do know. But I'm not going to try to preach what I don't know. Carlton asked a question after a Wednesday night about the Shemites. I started thinking about that. The Shemites aren't Abraham. Abraham was one of the Shemites. The other Shemites went to South America. They were up in Russia, and they were the Indians that were here before we were, and they had no way the knowledge of God in the sense that. So the answer to that is, yes, the Shemites weren't included. All three of those were considered Gentiles. And guess who was also in that line? Esau. The brother of Jacob. And he went haywire. So I started playing that. I got the answer to that. I can preach that now. I know what it is, but I had never thought about it. The point is you don't have to preach what you don't know. Just preach what you do know. And you know what? The people who are, quote, Christians that say, oh, I'm a Christian, but they haven't rightly divided, they haven't gotten saved, that they just go to church, they think they're all Joe, you know what I mean? Those people have no clue. When you start to present the truth, they're like, where are you? Man, you must be a genius. No, you're just showing them how simple the scriptures are put together. Hey, there's 12 men. Jesus told them not to go in the way of the Gentiles. Look at that. This one man, he told him to go to the Gentiles. Yeah, I mean, you start to list those things that you do know. Man, that becomes extremely powerful. And that's what you're supposed to be doing, transforming the mind that you may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It has to do with the sword. It has to do with the Word of God. And you know, our job is to make sure they're cut fatally so that they'll call upon the name of the Lord. You know, a lot of us, we get sad and we'll stop witnessing because somebody starts crying or somebody gets a little upset. Man, that's when you keep jabbing it harder. Why? Because you're getting to their heart. They're starting to see who they are. They're starting to realize, I'm lost. And they want you to quit because it hurts. But if you quit, they may not get saved. And you've got to be a strong enough soldier to swing the blade and bring the sword out of its sheath and go for the fatal blow. Say, well, I love this person. Well, then if you love them, you do that. Because otherwise, they're not going to get saved. You've got to... This is a training ground. What you're listening to on the internet is a training ground. You're in the battle. You're in the heat. The battle is all around you. People are dying and going to hell. You've got the answer. And you've got to use the miraculous sword. But you've never used the sword. You've never taken it out and talked to anybody about this book. You've talked about the books. You talk book to book to books. And you talk around the book. You talk about the weather about the book. But buddy, until you open this book in front of somebody and the woof, man, then the battle begins. You start talking, and then I can talk, we have fun. I go get my Bible and open it, and the conversation changes like that.
Sometimes you'll go into a meeting with some men, maybe, and you know the verses that you're going to call to their attention. You got your little plan out. And they are so far away. They're talking about something that is so far removed. I just kind of give up. I said, you know, I can't even get them there. They're in left field. I can't even get them in the ballpark before I can open the book.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Listen, let me tell you what. And until you open the book, you have done, this is exactly how much work you've done. That's it. Till the book gets open, all your philosophies, all your thoughts about the scriptures mean zero. You open the book. When was the last time you opened the book and you showed somebody by the book what's going on in the book? And we talk to our kids all the time, up on a superficial level. When was the last time you opened the book with your kids and said, let's look in the book? That's a different story. You know what Baptist churches do? On Thursday night, they go out and they invite people to come to church. They go out and they put door hangers out. That's another thing to have some men trained to go out and sit down with somebody. I'd like to see Tony and William and Robert, you know, whenever you're around. I'd like to take you out and take the Bible and let's see what you can do. Would you be embarrassed or could you lay out the plan? Take Wayne out, man. Say, Wayne, let me see what you got after all these years. You ought to get it, man. If I asked Wayne what was the top speed at Nassau at Talladega, he'd probably know. What was the top speed? How fast were the cars going, approximately, out of there?
Probably 200 miles an hour.
Who won the race?
Kevin Harvick.
Yeah.
You know, what is Dale Jr.'s number?
88.
Yeah, see, people know all that. All right, now let's play the same game. Who could sit here and show me Paul is your apostle by the Word of God?
I think they said over 18 plus times in there these days. These are probably
the Yeah, there's a slew. See, if you can't prove it, then you need to go home and study. You know why? Because, listen, if you can't prove to someone that Paul is your apostle, you're not going to get the gospel out very good. Hey, all right, we can have a conversation afterwards, believe it or not. What are you guys discussing?
Paul never brings up.
You can start it.
Oh, Acts 9:15 is a great one.
First time is you.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I mean, all of them. I know them all. You know why? I know what 1 + 1 equals. I can teach that. I can teach Paul is my apostle. You can't teach that. You don't need to jump. I want to see the next time the next person preaches. I want the fact that Paul is their apostle with every verse exhausted. That's what I want. I don't want, you know, oh, I'm going to give you my little wisdom. Whoopee. I don't care about that. Because you know what? You know what? How are you going to get good at that? Go out and show about 100 people. You know what? I bet after you show 100 people Paul is your apostle and use every verse they have, and you sit down with them and you literally say, let me show you this, and you show it to them. You know what? You're going to know those verses. You're not going to have to wonder, I've showed it to 100 people. I've got it down. I've got it down. You got it? Go like this or no, I don't know. I'm confused. Go like this. I mean, you all understand? When you sit down with someone, don't just make it. When I went up to Kentucky, and I told them this the other day, when I used to sit there, after the first couple Bible classes we had, they would just philosophize. It was all about generalities and what do you think about this and well, wasn't this elder doing this and all that. And I'm like, now they're sitting around, where's that verse? You know, I can't remember where that verse is. I need that verse. My sister's coming up. I need that verse. That's what matters. You all understand? It's the preaching of the word. Why? It is what transforms their mind. It's what proves to them. Look at it again in verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Hey, come on. Why should we not think of ourselves more highly? Somebody showed you, bucko. You didn't discover this.
No.
You know, people act like, oh, I discovered this. Well, then you're stupid. Because you know what? I got taught by Brother Moore, Jerry Lockhart, on and on. You got it? You're not going to discover it. I read it in a book somewhere. Well, then that's scary in itself. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You don't get this stuff on your own. A man of God comes in and teaches you. And you know what? You ought to take care and make sure you take care of the man of God that's teaching you the Word of God. It ain't the building that is important. Blessed, it's the man of God that's important. And I don't mean that in a selfish way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I mean, that's where you get it until you got it. In 1 Corinthians 4, y'all there? Verse 6. And these brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself, and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Hey, guys, I didn't gain this on my own. Someone taught it to me. You know the difference between me and a lot of preachers? Is I don't care to be the theologian. I don't want to be Dr. Snodgrass. You know what I want to be? I want to be one that preaches the gospel. Preach the word. James Vernon McGee, the old Baptist, he was an eloquent, he had a rough little voice, ended up being famous, and he didn't have the word of God down rightly divided, and he didn't have it all perfect. What I'm saying is, he kept it simple.
Right.
You don't have to impress people with you.
That's right.
And then he said in verse 7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And here's the point. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Why are you acting like you got it on your own? All of a sudden, I'm so bright. Look what I've learned. You know what I do when I normally sit down with somebody? And this happened up in Kentucky. The very first night I sat down with Roxy, Margie, Miss Carrie, and Carlton. That night, I said, let me show you what an old man taught me. As I start out, every time I witness, let me show you what an old man taught me. That old man used to be around. His name's Brother E.C. Moore.
Amen.
Sit down. Do you have a Bible? Okay, open it up. Open it up. Good. Do you not have a Bible? Have a Bible. You need to have it out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse, who maketh thee different? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Listen, everything I got, I received. Say, well, I'm going to preach on something that no one else preaches on. Here, let me give you a hint. Danger, Mr. Robinson! Danger! You got it? I don't want to preach anything different. I just want to preach it. Brother Moore said it this way. You might be able to preach the gospel better than me, but you can't preach a better gospel. Boy, isn't that powerful.
Amen.
See, I didn't gain this. I'm not the smartest man in the day. Say, where did it come from? Well, let me tell you where it came from. This truth went all the way back to the Apostle Paul. And that's been told for all those years until Brother Moore told me. That's where we are in the chart. And I'm teaching you. Let me ask you a question honestly. How many people have you taught? How many people have you sat down with the Word of God and you taught? Honestly, I want to know. That's your job. You sit down with the Word of God and you teach them. Just like I taught you. Just like Brother Moore taught me. If you're interested, if you want to help people, you want people to get saved, that's how you do it. And people don't want to do that because then that means they have to learn the Word of God. Well, you think where the Baptists are. The Baptists want to come to church and they listen to a sermon and they go out and they come up and they say, preacher, oh, what a fine sermon. And they couldn't repeat a single verse the man even taught. Hey, they don't know what he said.
He was just saying if they preached a verse, then they will not say one verse out of the Bible.
No, I have two, actually. I mean, but think about what we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
And that's how grace believers are starting to become. They just sit there like, I'm going to just absorb it all. You don't absorb it. You go out and do it. That's the impressive part. So you fumble the first couple of times. Welcome to the club. Are you going to fail the first couple times you're going to show it?
Yep.
Absolutely. Are you going to be embarrassed?
Yep.
Yeah. But you know what? If I put a person on a bike and they fall 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Hannah, sit up, please. Thank you. Now think about it. If I get somebody on the bike, Josh, sit up a little bit. Where's your bike? Okay, here we go. Listen to me. If I got somebody on the bike 4, 5, 6 times and they fail, you think eventually they'd start saying, I don't want to fall, I want to ride the bike? But you know the best way to not never fall? Don't get on the bike. So what do people do? They don't want to fail. So they don't witness to anybody. They don't talk to anybody. They don't take any time to do all that. They talk about church. They talk about the program. They talk about this. They talk about that. They talk about the weather. But they won't open their own Bible and show them what they've learned. And you know why? Because they're afraid. They're afraid of rejection. False evidence appearing real. False evidence is probably even going to happen. In fact, you know, we had this guy, Leonard, up in, talk to his dad. And his dad's all bowed up. You know why? Dad has no idea what's in the book. And Leonard's figured it out. And you know what actually starts happening? Is when you know the Word of God and you can start figuring it out, eventually they're going to have to quit arguing because 1 plus 1 equals what?
2.
And 12 plus 12 equals?
24.
That's right. Eventually they're going to have to see it like it is, or they're going to be seen like idiots. You got it? I bet I could sit down with any one of y'all, go to your bosses, go to your friends, go to your family, and sit down there, and I guarantee you most of them will try to throw us out. You know why? They don't want to have to learn 1 plus 1 is 2. Most of them aren't going to get happy about it. Oh, joy, that's just beautiful. Some will see it. Then some will start to say, well, gosh, I have to be responsible if I believe this. Well, that's exactly what the job is. Look at 2 Timothy. My job is to fill in replacements for me. Go to 2 Timothy. Go to chapter 2. Verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What do you think he means by that, strong in the grace? Be generous? Be helpful? No, be strong in the doctrine. Be strong in what you believe about grace. Know what it is you believe about grace so that, hey, you can show it. I'm not going to be there when Chris shows up. Brother, you want him saved? You better know the Word of God. Because you can't call me up when Chris is over there. When Mel comes over, don't say, hey, Baba, show my daughter. You better get after it. You know what? Listen, if they don't know, you know whose fault it is? Yours. How sick and gross is that? Isn't there a value into knowing the Word of God? Not for you. Not for your ego, but that you might show somebody. So my question is, when was the last time you sat down with the Word of God and tried to show somebody anything? If I went down to the aisles here, and I said, I mean, you really sat down with the Word of God and you tried to show somebody, and we started with Nate and went all the way through, what do you think the answers would be we'd get? You know, it wouldn't be very good. You know why? We're afraid. Hey, guys, you've got the sword of the Spirit. You don't have to be afraid. When you open this Bible, it sounds like this to them. They should be fearful of you. When you open the book, it sounds like this. I mean, you're the man of God. You're the one that God called and put forth in that person's path that you could preach to them and teach to them rightly dividing. Well, I'll just try to get them to church. Well, what a penny waste way to go. Amen? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, and I would tell you that's probably Romans through Philemon.
Right.
The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to do what? Hey, it's not an option. You may never be a full-time preacher. Y'all understand? You may never want to do what I do here. In fact, this is what I would do. I would recommend not doing that. Doing what I do is terrible.
But the reward is great.
Well, we hope. I mean, that's what we're planning. But I mean, it's tough. But I would want to know what the Word of God says so I could share it with my mom and my daddy, my aunt, my uncle, my sister, my brothers. My fellow workers. My job is to teach faithful men who can teach others also. And he goes, I'm not called to preach. Hey, I didn't say preach. You ought to be prepared to come up here and say, Wayne, I want to hear on baptism, and it ought to be intelligent. Amen?
That's right.
I mean, it shouldn't be like all discombobulated. Make some sense in the Bible what's going on? Could you prove which baptism is for today and why? Dale, could you? And if not, why not? Carlton, if I called you up right now and said, Brother, I want you to preach on baptism. For the next hour, I want you to do it. Could you do it? And if not, you need to get off of Dim-Dim and just get in a book and just start studying baptism until you know it. And I don't mean that bad. I don't mean it bad. But you can become like a conference junkie and hear it all and do absolutely nothing in your growth.
That's right.
You want to be the man of God? Quit learning. There's people that in this Bible says ever learning and never able to come up and offer the truth. Quit that. You ask Larry, how many times we went out and witnessed when I first got here? Almost every night of the week I was out talking to somebody. A couple nights with Larry, and then I'd do a couple with Dole, and I'd do a couple with Jim, and a couple with this person, and a couple with that person. And I was full all night long talking to people about the Bible. Do you know how many times I've been offered to go to somebody's house to talk to them about the Word of God? In the last 2 years? Zero. Now, if you're not witnessing to them and they're not listening to me, who's actually talking to them? That's kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, how many employees are at the zoo? I've never been invited out. Come out and walk with me. Let's talk to these people about the world. I've never been invited to Winn-Dixie for the break so we can sit down with some of the people. Wouldn't that be interesting? How about Toyota? I bet there's some lost people at Toyota.
It's the only one I work with, and I've already sat down with you.
Well, we sit down with them again. And we'll sit down with your boss. You work for him, don't you? Don't you want him to go to heaven? I mean, you want him to go. You know what? The majority of people are not going.
That's right.
I'm just telling you. I don't know where you work, but you know, there's got to be a few people that an actuary knows that are lost. I don't know if they even, nobody may even want to hang out with an actuary. It's kind of like Wayne. We love him when he's in his room. Now, Larry, I understand. The only person we can talk to now is this cat. It's the only person he sees. But, you know, there's got to be something. You work with somebody, don't you want them saved? I'll come by. You want, you got, I actually offered them to quit because we got scared or something. I'm not sure. But listen, let me tell you what. It's going to be bloody. I'm not going for it. Oh, I'm the sweet guy. I'm going to show them the Word of God. And I'm going to lay the Word of God out. And some will get excited and get saved. And some will get mad as a hornet. And you know what? I can't tell you which one they're going to do. But I'm going to present it exactly the same way to both of them. Y'all understand? It's a sword. Somebody taught me to witness. I've gone out and witnessed ever since the day I got saved. You can ask Brendan. The day I got saved, I took my Bible, my last senior year of college. I carried it to college. And I sat down with all... And how many friends did I have at the end of college?
None.
They all left me. But you know what? I witnessed every single one of them. Not because I wanted to show them how much I knew. Because I really wanted them saved. It was a desire. Say, well, I desire to be a preacher. Well, I can show you how to preach. Just take me out. I'll show you. It's no fun. They're going to throw rocks at you. Sticks. They're going to call you a black evangelist. They're going to call you an infidel. They're going to call you everything but nice. And you know why? Because you're swinging the sword at them.
Pull a 45 on
them. Yeah, I was down there in the Eufaula. Went down there. Guy said, yes, you can come down and visit me and talk to me about the Bible. We showed up on the property. He's hiding behind a tree. And when we finally stop and all get out, he comes out with his 45 and he says, you got 2 minutes to show me whatever you're going to show me and then I'm going to start shooting. That's a Baptist deacon.
I remember that.
That's a Baptist deacon. And I said, brother, all I got is a Bible. It doesn't matter, you got 2 minutes. I said, okay, we're going to take our 2 minutes and show him the Bible. I mean, I could have left. I started showing him. The more I showed him about Paul being his apostle, the madder he got. That little girl at Columbine had a gun up to her head and said, look, if you'll deny the Lord, I'll let you go. If you don't, I'm going to blow your brains out. Well, I'm not going to deny him. Would you do it? Would you be willing to step up as a soldier? Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3, thou therefore endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. He's not going to be really concerned about NASCAR or the zoo or the secular thing. He's going to be about their soul. That's what. You know what? If I was going to go to NASCAR, I'd want to witness. You know what Brother Moore did when he went to races?
Mm-hmm.
He witnessed everybody getting in the pit and he'd go around talking to people with his Bible. Most people go to watch the race. Brother Moore did love watching racing, but he'd show those people the Word of God in that pit. I went to the zoo. There'd be a Bible by my side, and I'd have somebody sitting next to me every day at that zoo. So let's talk Bible. Eventually, it won't be any fun to go to the zoo because you won't have any friends. Because you've opened up and you really laid it up. No, you don't have to. You can have all the friends and you can have all the life you could ever have. You just can't do it while preaching the truth. See, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're not getting any persecution, people aren't talking about behind your back, they aren't putting you down, you aren't doing anything for the Lord. That's a fact. I mean, you've got a great life. You've got the truth for yourself. Just keep it. How stingy could that be? See, God's called you to be soldiers. You guys are soldiers. Let me ask a question. How many bullets have you fired? Well, I shot one 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. Before then. Well, about probably 6 months, I hadn't shot one. I doubt those people in Iraq could even count. Then I'd be walking just... You know what I mean? I want to shoot them before they shoot me. Amen? Now, how many bullets you shot? I don't know, but I'm going to keep shooting until I'm done with this war. Amen? Oh, well, when was the last time you shot one? Well, what day of the week was?
Oh, boy.
No. Well, you're a really great man of God. You really turned on the Lord. You really showed Him you're made of something, that you're really to put out the Word of God, and that you're ambassadors for Christ. I mean, the fact that He only went to the cross and died for all of your sins, the fact that He gave you eternal life, the fact that He left His blood, went down into hell, and came up again, and you're having a hard time witnessing, I find that a little bit
weird.
Robert, don't you think that's weird? I think it's just muy poquito weird. I was an agent for A.L. Williams. And I was the number one salesperson in all the state of Texas. I lived in Houston. And every time I'd get there and I had them closed, I knew I had them closed. And I said, what I need you to do is sign right here. And they'd lift up that pen, and as soon as they lifted up that pen, I'd take it away, and I said, I don't want you to sign that. You might not want to sign it after I get done. I want 20 minutes of your time to explain how I got saved. And I would take out a pocket Bible, which I always kept in my pocket. It's kind of a tall one. I really love it. I don't even know what happened to that Bible. But I'd keep it in my suit pocket or in my back pocket. And I'd whip out and I'd make them read those Bible verses with me. There's none good. I'm not worth the gunpowder who pulled me into hell. All my righteousness are filthy rags. And I'd show them the whole thing and show them that Christ died for their sins. I was the number one closer. And a trainer went out with me and says, you cannot do that. You cannot. Oh, what are you doing? And I said, look, if I can't do this, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. You can hire someone else. I'm not interested. If I can't do what I want to do for my Lord and Savior, I'm not interested. Well, they found out I was the number one closer, and then they all wanted me to train how I did it. I can't train how to serve the Lord. I just did it because He died for my sins. I can't make you do that. There's no way I can put that in your mind, because I know what's in your heart. You see, I already know what's in your heart. That's the problem. You're letting the heart rule you. I just don't feel good about it. I just don't know if I feel like witnessing. I don't have to feel like anything to witness. I witness because He told me to preach the Word. The instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all suffering and doctrine. For a time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. But heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You got it? Hey, it's not difficult for me. I know what we're up against. I know who's stopping you. It's you. Fear is seizing you. What happens if you knew the rapture was in 3 weeks? Would you tell anybody how to get saved? If you knew, I mean, God came down to you personally and said, the rapture, would you talk to your parents then? Are you trying to build up enough mustard to figure it all out? What are you waiting for? What exactly do you want to tell them? You need a sermonette? What are you going to tell them when they go to hell? And they're standing before the great white throne judgment, and they look at Tony, or they look at Dale, or they look at Wayne and say, why did you tell me? Now, some of us didn't tell them, William. In fact, the majority of people don't tell anybody. I said, why did you tell me? You never sat down with me with the Word of God. You know, we talked about superficial things. Things like, are you a Christian? Well, what are you going to say to that? No, I'm a Muslim. No, of course you're going to say I'm a Christian. If someone had asked me whether I was a Christian when I was lost, guess what I would have said? Yeah, I'm a Christian. You asked me what I was trusting in, I would have said God's going to put my good on one side and my bad on the other and weigh it out. I don't say that anymore. Because I know all my good is nothing more than filthy rags. And that the only means that I've got in is God's going to see the blood covered upon that post. Amen? And God's looking for the blood. He's not looking for the person inside, how good you are. You're not any good. You're not fooling God. So how many here is ready to be soldiers? Want to be a soldier? I'm going to be in for 2 weeks. Only time I'm going to be is gone Monday, Tuesday. You want me to come by and talk to somebody? You have guts enough to say, hey, let's go have lunch? Hey, if you're not too far away, brother, I'll drive. You don't have to drive anywhere. I'll come down to you. I drive 7 hours to go to Kentucky. You don't think I'll drive an hour and a half to where you were? I'll flat out do it. You too, Robert. You know why? Because listen, I can flat out, and I'm brave enough and bold enough, and God's called me to the task, and I'm prepared for the task. You all understand? This isn't pride. I can show you the gospel with my eyes blinded. I can even probably quote the verses verbatim and have them turn in the scriptures. You all understand? I'm prepared. I've been preparing this my whole life. What do you think I live for? I don't live for the next NASCAR race or the next Alabama football. I live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I live for the purpose of showing His will and His salvation by the death on that cross. Now, do I like NASCAR? Yeah. Do I like Alabama football? Yeah. Do I like PGA golf? A whole lot. You got it? I mean, I got my desires. I'm not telling you. My heart's as deceitful and wicked as yours is. I mean, I can get lazy right after, but hey, if you want to turn on the afterburner, you want to get people saved, you got to crack the book. You got to crack the book. And if you don't know how to crack the book, who are you going to call?
Pastor Ben.
Ghostbusters. No. Call me. I'm up to it. I'm prepared. This isn't any joke to me. I'm prepared. You know what my job is? To make sure Dale's prepared. And Wayne. Say, Wayne says, I'm not a preacher. Yeah, but you want your neighbor to go to hell? No. Well, then you've got to witness to him because I don't live next to him. Amen? I mean, I like Chris, but I hardly ever see Chris. You know how many times Chris calls Wayne? 20 times during NASCAR. Did you see that? I never see him. Kim, you know how many times I've seen Kim? Known Wayne 15 years. You know how many times I've seen Kim? 5, maybe 6 or 7 times. You know what? If you're waiting for me to witness, and you either got to get me over there, or you better be prepared to witness on your own. Amen?
Amen.
And if they go to hell, you haven't taken the time. I bet that would be a sad thing. Well, every time I talk about it, it's confrontational. Okay, let me get this right. You're swinging a sword, and you don't think it's going to be confrontational. Are you starting out this whole conversation a little bit weird in the first place? I mean, if someone looks out and pulls out a sword and goes, whoom, I think I'm going to go in the duck mode. You know what I mean? Flee for cover. I'm going to wish I watched some of those ninja things where they can flip on the ceiling and turn around. You know what I mean? Or be like I normally am. Yikes! Yikes! scared to death. But that sword isn't for just bloody battle. It's the only sword in the whole universe that literally, when you cut them in a way, they'll recognize it. They can have eternal life. You know what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4? Preach the word. Preach the word. Didn't say preach your philosophies. Tell me about your philosophical views on the scriptures. Preach the word. Give me the doctrine. The next time a preacher stands in the pulpit, we're just going to cover Paul. And we're going to go over your tape and we're going to say, how come you missed this? You got a B. You didn't study very hard.
Chapter and verse.
Give me the chapter and verse. Well, I didn't know it. Well, whose fault is that? Got it? Now, y'all make sure Robert feels welcomed, loved, and enjoyed his moments here with us. I'm ending this conversation only with the encouraging thing to know that the Word of God is the only thing that really matters. It's not me, not Brother Moore. Do you know what happened to Brother Moore? He's gone.
That's right.
Well, what he left behind were men of God preaching the book. That's what's important. All right, y'all take it.